scriptures. We've got Old Testament and New Testament as they help us dive into our series around the Sabbath. First, Psalm 23, that psalm. Many perhaps grew up and memorized this psalm. Hear it once again, the Shepherd Psalm as it's known. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. I wonder if that psalm wasn't ringing in Jesus' ears as he gave this invitation to those around him when he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your soul." There is within Psalm 23, within Jesus' invitation to the weary, the character of God, the desire of God for God's creation, to find places to rest, to slow down, to find calm, to be restored in that. That's what we're going to talk about as we continue in our series today. But friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I was growing up, we raised sheep. Not as an enterprise. We didn't try and sell them necessarily for profit. But my older brother and sister were part of 4-H and would show sheep. This was something my dad and mom had grown up doing as well. And so for a while in Northern California, we had a flock, if you will. And this is what you begin to learn about sheep when you spend time around them. They find it very hard to rest. Sheep are skittish. Sheep are nervous animals by nature. They're anxious with every little sound and movement. Even rushing water and a stream scares them, okay? That's why in our psalm we hear the shepherd has to lead them beside still waters, quiet waters. Otherwise, they might not drink, just get dehydrated and sick. They need to find places of calm. The shepherd has to do so much work for the sheep to thrive. And I know it's a little odd sometimes when you think of the imagery, God as shepherd, that makes us the sheep, right? Yeah, it does. And yet I don't think it's far off. God is trying all the time to help us live best into life, to find rest and calm and to restore our souls. And we are skittish and anxious and find that hard to do. And it's why I think we've been given this idea, this concept of the Sabbath. So our series, Recovering the Sabbath, Restoring Our Souls, I think it's crucial. It's crucial because we live in a day and a time when everything in our society pushes against rest, to stop. How many times have you found yourself in a conversation with somebody and they're asking, "How are you doing?" "Oh, I'm good. Boy, I'm just so," what's the word? "Busy, tired, stressed." Just listen to your conversations this week with people. It's almost a requisite in our conversations that we have to talk about how busy we are, how overscheduled and stressed we are. I'm not sure those words even existed, you know, a century ago in the same way. This is a different time. We are running on treadmills we weren't designed to run on. One author he characterizes life this way. He says, "Look, life has become a maelstrom in which speed and accomplishment, consumption and productivity have become the most valued human commodities. In the trance of overwork, We take everything for granted. We consume things, people, and information, and we don't have time to savor this life, nor to care deeply and gently for ourselves, our loved ones, or our world. Rather, with increasingly dizzying haste, we use them all up and throw them away. A disposable society, disposable relationships, disposable world. It's a dizzying pace. Do you feel that pace sometimes? I know I do. It just feels like it might never stop. And so we run along with it, and then we just get exhausted. Just done. We're not designed to live this way, friends. God designed us with a different rhythm, this 6 days work and 1 day rest, the Sabbath rhythm that we heard about last week in the creation story. But we fight against it because the world has different messages. There's a comical way we begin to note this, right? When we get a little hungry, right? We've made up a new word, right? You might get hangry. Anybody know that one? Right? If you're hungry, you kind of start to get a little angry. So you're hangry. New pop word. There you go. It strikes me funny. So, I mean, you play with it. So Snickers has played with this, right? And they have these Snickers commercials, right? They say, you're not you when you're hungry. I want to give that the biblical twist and say, you're not you when you're not keeping Sabbath. You get angry. You get defensive. You get a little hostile. You get a little whiny. You get a little out of sorts. I do. I know when I've had those weeks where there's just no rest, no break, no margin, I'm less kind, less thoughtful, less interested, I'm just less. I'm less than my best with my family, with my friends, with my wife, my kids, my relationships. Have you had those kind of weeks? Any of you had those kind of weeks? Oh my gosh. This is the world we live in. We need the Sabbath. Oh, but we've abandoned it. We've kind of given it up because culture sort of ran over it. I want us to recover it. And not in the sort of legalistic way that it developed over the years, not in the do's and don'ts. It has to be start at this hour and end at this hour, and you do this and you don't do this. That just doesn't get us anywhere either. But to recover the spirit of Sabbath, the mindset of a rhythm of work and rest that will restore us. I want us to get to that. I mean, we understand it with our sleep, right? We know if we don't sleep enough, pretty quickly that impacts us. We understand it with food. If we don't eat, we get hangry. But with our whole rhythm of life, sometimes we push past it. We got to get back to it. We need to take the time to recharge the batteries, right? We talked about with the iPad. Restore ourselves. There's a story told a few different ways about two lumberjacks. Maybe you know this one. They challenged each other one day. They said, I bet I can cut down more than you can. So the young one, Mr. Confident, he's set to chopping. Chop, 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 chop. He's working hard all day long. Chop, chop, chop. He's going like crazy for the first few hours, and then it's getting slower and slower. The older, wiser lumberjack chops for a while, takes a break, chops for a while, takes a break, and so on it goes. At the end of the day, tally up how much work they've done, and the young lumberjack is astounded. How in the world did the older lumberjack cut down more than he did? He took all these breaks, all this rest. I mean, he worked hard. The younger one, he worked hard the whole time, and yet he had half as much done. Well, of course, the older lumberjack reminded him. He said, well, you didn't pay attention. When I was taking my breaks, I was sharpening my axe. I was preparing the tool. That's what Sabbath does. It helps us to take the break we need to sharpen ourselves, to prepare ourselves for the next rhythm of work. Now, we heard the creation rhythm and Sabbath given in Genesis, but it's more than mimicking God. It was actually a commandment. We know this, right? It's one of the 10. Right. So, How does it go? Well, in Exodus, we hear it this way. Get back to my right page. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. 6 days labor, do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. It was given as one of the commandments, friends. Not one of the guidelines, not one of the suggestions, but one of the 10 basic rules for life. Live this way. You need this. We need this. I need this. The people needed it back then, and we need it now. So the question is, well, what to do with it? I was reminded last week by a few folks, I wasn't very practical last week. Where's the practical, Eric? Come on. Enough of the esoteric, enough of the Bible stuff. Let's get practical. Well, let's get practical for a minute. All right. So what does this mean? Well, let's think about this. What are some things we might want to stop doing on the Sabbath, and then some things that we might want to pick up on the Sabbath? We've got to say no to something if we're going to rest. So obviously you've got to say no to work. Right? Whatever your work is normally, just don't do it one day a week. Let it go. Now I know some of you retired folks are smiling, right? You're saying, I let it go years ago. Every day is Sabbath for me. I've heard some retired folks last week. They said, oh, you know, this Sabbath, that's nice. But every day is Sabbath for me now. Awesome. I'm going to have some more guidelines for the retired folks here in a minute. For those still in the workforce, you need the break. So let go of the work. Because here's the thing. It will never be done. It will never be enough. You can work constantly, 7 days a week, all year long, and it still won't be done. It will never be done. It's never going to be enough. But we've been commanded to stop, to cease, to rest, because we need it. Because it's the best way to live. So you gotta say no to the work one day a week. And if work has to happen on Sunday, in some of us, in some industries, yep, you gotta work on Sunday. It's not about that day. It's about that rhythm. So find a different day. This is not my rest day. This is not my ceasing day, if you will. So I have to find a different day. And pastors, we are notoriously bad at this, all right? Phil, I don't know how you did this, how you were about Sabbath or not, but this is a challenge. This is hard for us to do. And so why even preach about the Sabbath, Eric? Well, because Eric needs to hear it. Eric needs to be reminded. You got to rest. You got to have boundaries. You got to take a break. Because you know what? I could do it all day long and it won't be enough. I've got to step back and trust God is in control. That's a part of why we don't let go, why we don't stop. I think underlying is sort of this sense like, I don't know, is God really involved here? We got to trust enough to let go, to stop the cycle. So we got to say no to work. We got to say no to worry. For some of us, we worry all week long, whether it's about our work, our family, our chores, our duties, our school, classes, everything. We worry. And I think if we're really going to rest and restore our souls, we need to take a break from worry. And so whatever that would take for you, figure that out. How can you rest from worry for one day a week, from anxiety, from having to think about what's coming along? Maybe that's the day before Sabbath for you, the day before that kind of ceasing and resting day. Create your to-do list. Take care of the chores you need to do that are on top of the... I don't know what it is, but do what it takes to just free yourself up, because the Sabbath is about freedom and rest and about delight and joy. So the things you can say yes to, you feel great doing, and you get to enjoy them. What would that be for you? What could you delight in that you don't get to do the rest of the week? Now, retirees, I mentioned you earlier. Coming back to you, seniors, you have a great gift in the ways in which you can relate to your family. This past week, we had session Monday night, and it was really fun. I got to to ask the session members just to share briefly, what were their Sunday memories growing up? Kind of the Sunday rhythms that they lived into. And, you know, there are a lot of different ones. But one of the patterns I heard for many was, well, we went to church, and then we got together with our extended family, our aunts and uncles and our cousins and grandparents and such, and we had a meal. You know, it was Sunday supper. And we played cards, we played games, we relaxed, we read, we hung out together. And how many just remember that so fondly? What a healthy rhythm for a family line, right? So, seniors, you have a power as patriarchs and matriarchs within your families to perhaps trying to reinstitute some of those practices. Now, maybe you already have some of that involved in your family. You already do it. Way to go. It's such a healthy practice for rest for your families. But maybe that's something that got lost along the way. You could reinstitute that and bring it back. See what those connections do in your family. See how that helps you to unite once longer and feel closer together. Build each other up. Know what's going on in each other's lives. Know how to pray for each other and to pray together. That'd be a great time, wouldn't it? Now, I know some of us don't live near family anymore. It's a modern age. We're all over the country. But we have technology that can help us connect. And so perhaps it means there's a family phone call or a FaceTime moment, you know, week by week that helps you to connect. Wouldn't that be great? That sounds to me like the joy and freedom of Sabbath, of rest, getting to restore our souls. Next week we're going to talk about worship as a central part of Sabbath. But for today, just to imagine, what would it mean to really rest so that when you step into the week, you feel restored? Create your Sabbath that way. Figure out what's going to work for you. Again, this isn't about some particular do or don't. This is the attitude and the way of living into a rhythm. Think about how you can do it. How you can do it enough to let go and to trust and say, yes, God, I know it's never going to be done, but you're at work in this. You can do this, and I trust it. I'm going to relax in that today so we can restore our souls. Gracious God, this is hard to do. It's hard to do in a 24/7 culture. It's hard to do, Lord, when there's so much that demands our attention and our time. But the more we give into it, Lord, the less we become. So God, help us to imagine, to get creative, and to play with a new rhythm for life, a Sabbath rhythm, a ceasing, resting rhythm. Help us to draw close to one another as families, to connect near and far, to build that into the ways of life each week. Help us, O Lord, to follow after your commandment, to be your people. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.